Each year, at this time of the year, my father, who was a rabbi, would make a bitter complaint against the Jewish tradition. He would say that it is not fair that God made it so that we read the book of Deuteronomy in the summer. Because as a rabbi in Philadelphia, everybody's gone during the summer. So you have the Ten Commandments and the Shema and verses from the Haggadah and all these wonderful things to talk about, and nobody's in the congregation. And then during the year, you have the book of Vayikra of Leviticus, when it has skin diseases and leprosy, and everybody's there. And year after year, he used to tell me, I want to switch the book of Vayikra and the book of Devarim so that I get to talk about the good stuff when everybody's there, and I can discuss leprosy while everybody is vacationing in Florida. But the other cure for this, of course, is to be a rabbi in California, where not as many people leave because it's so nice here. And when Ve'et Chaman comes around, which is the richest parsha in the Torah, you actually have people to talk to about it. And Ve'et Chaman, I mean, a rabbi is not allowed to say he has a favorite parsha, just like a parent can't say they have a favorite child. But it is certainly true that there's more to talk about in Ve'et Chaman than any other single parsha in the Torah. I mean, any parsha that has both the Ten Commandments and the Shema, you have a year's worth of sermons there. But because you don't have a year's worth of time, I'm going to just say one thing about the entire parsha and what drives it. Because remember that this is Moses speaking as the children of Israel are about to go into the land. And he has to remind them what is important right before they go into Israel, because they're going to be faced with all these new situations. They're not going to be the same people that they were. The people that they were before didn't fight wars. Now they're going to have to fight wars. The people that they were before didn't have to set up a state. Now they'll have to set up a state. It's going to call for lots of different ideas, institutions. They're going to have a king. They never had a king before. Judges. They never had those before. So he has to both remind them of what was and get them prepared for what will be. And the question is, what single quality drives all of this? And it might not be what you first think of. But if you really consider it, what is Israel told to do in relationship to God? V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. When you go into this land, just remember, you must love God. You must love God. Not just obey God or listen to God, but love God. And the reason you must do that, in part, is the very end of the parsha says, why did God choose you? Why are you going to get this land? Not because you're the most numerous of peoples, not because you're a huge people. In fact, you're a very small people. Not because you're intrinsically better, even though the nations that lived in Canaan, God wasn't very happy with. But it says, ki me ahavat Hashem. God loves you. Now, we don't always talk about that in the Jewish tradition. The idea that the relationship between Israel and God is a relationship of reciprocal love. But here, in the most important moment in the Torah in some ways, when Moshe is getting ready to say goodbye and tells the people, remember, you stood at Sinai. And here's the Shema that you're going to say every single day, the central prayer of your tradition. It's all about love. And that's a very powerful message for us to remember, that that is what binds our tradition together. Not obedience, not fear, but love. Our love of God and God's love of us. It's good not only in the summer, but all year round to remember that. Let's bring everybody in.